Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. Introducing the Fistful of Cash Podcast.
What is going on, guys? You are tuned into the newest episode of the Tuesday Touchback, part of the Fistful of Cash Podcast. I'm your host, Dale Lippin, in here with the co-hosts of all co-hosts, Soup. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just watching the Monday night game. You know, hoping that the Giants can cover these 3.5 points so that we can salvage our NFL weekend. Still up units on the weekend. Had a really good Saturday for college football. So Giants are down 10-7 right now, driving the ball down. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Saturday was a moment of elation for sure. Up until about midnight when UFC started to unravel. We had a couple plays on the Mike Perry Cowboy fight that didn't go our way. Cowboy looked put together a vintage performance, don't you say?
Absolutely. My arm hurt as soon as he got when Mike Perry picked him up and slammed him. Like you said, we were talking while it happened, and as soon as he did it, you're like, Mike Perry broke his arm, and who didn't know that? Cowboy said he heard it pop, and he said he wasn't letting go of that thing. He was taking that chicken wing home with him.
Yeah, I mean, he was that face that he was making when he was trying to rip that dude's arm off was that was primal at its best. It was just a wild event, man. Obviously, the talk of the event is the Yair Rodriguez knockout of Korean Zombie. I mean, just, I don't want to say it's the best knockout, but it's definitely the most creative knockout I've ever seen.
Yeah. And we were, I want to say fortunate enough to be on the right side. They released the cards today going into the fifth and final round. They had Korean Zombie up 3-1. So we needed a finish in that round and we got it in the absolute final second. And that was just unbelievable. Like you said, not the best, but hands down the most creative knockout that I've ever seen for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't like the detractors that are out there online saying it was a lucky shot. You know, part of the frustration that led up into that strike was, you know, me screaming at the TV telling Rodriguez if he would just stick to the basics, he could win this fight. And because he was constantly throwing wild, creative, somewhat effective striking techniques, he was actually down on the cards because he just refused to stick to the basics. But it was that abandonment of the basics that ended up winning him the fight. So I guess I look, you know, like I got egg on my face, because if he would have, I don't know, if he would have just, you know, stayed basic, maybe he could have got him out of there sooner. But that that Hail Mary elbow, that was just, that was next level. And the way Zombie fell on the ground was very, that was scary, man. That looked like, you know, sniper sort of fall. That was a bad, slow crumpling as the body system just shut down. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a purposeful elbow. Your elbow doesn't come, you know, 8 to 10 inches behind your back without meaning to throw it like that. Was Korean Zombie's head in the right spot at the right time for Yair Rodriguez? Absolutely. But yeah, it was a crazy way to end the Denver card, that's for sure.
25th anniversary. I mean, going up into that fight, I was, you know, I'd said several times that I just expected, I just needed a bigger card. 25th anniversary, man, you got to do it up, you know. And not that that card wasn't good, but it was, I mean, you're talking about you're celebrating the 25th anniversary. I figure you go all out, and yeah, Cowboy delivered. That's great. The final fight delivered. That's great. But it was pretty much a snooze fest up until that. I was not impressed or entertained outside of just the general, you know, feeling of entertainment I get from watching people fight. It wasn't what I would say was, you know, the most highly entertaining card. And because of that, you know, when you're not just picking straight money lines, you've got to decide this over under on rounds. And that can be tricky, especially in a card like this, where every single fight seemed to be wanting to go to decision. So that proved to be our kryptonite on Saturday night after a flawless football weekend.
As far as a snooze fest goes, it didn't help that we had to watch 15 minutes of Raquel Pennington, who is on the same like Beachbody diet plan as Rush Limbaugh, lay up against her, just 15 minutes of her laying her big, flabby, saggy body on top of that girl. Dude, that was just bad, man. That was sorry if I'm ripping her too much, but that was just, she looked like hell. She fought like hell. That was 15 minutes that I wish I would have slept. I mean, that's 15 minutes of sleep I could have used.
Well, Raquel Pennington and I basically have the same body type, so, you know, I'm okay with it. I will say this. After the beating that Amanda Nunes put on her, it didn't look like she wanted to fight. At the final weigh-ins, she didn't look like she wanted to fight. And the entire time in the cage, it looked like she didn't want to fight. And her corner was, you know, abandoning actual technical advice in between rounds and really just trying to motivate her to actually fight. I don't think she's long for this world as far as fight career goes, man. I would not be surprised if she hangs it up after this last fight. I think she might retire or do one more fight. I mean, her record's barely 500 to begin with. She had her moment in the sun. She fought for a title and it didn't go her way. Clearly, she is not title contention material. There's no way she's ever going to be bantamweight champion of the world. And knowing that, and having it be that glaringly obvious, I wonder what your motivation is to go in the gym and work that hard every day for. So I wouldn't be surprised, man. I really would not be surprised. Her wife, Tisha Torres, is way more successful and, in my opinion, more talented. I wouldn't be surprised to see her take a step back and transition into coaching or something like that. Because I don't know, man. She looked like a head case in there on Saturday night to me. And you're right. She fought scared. She didn't fight to win. She fought to survive. So that was bad. That was boring. And, you know, that sucks that was on the main card. So I'm with you on that. As far as college football goes, though, we had an excellent weekend college football wise. You know, run me through some highlights. What are some big takeaways from this weekend? As the season winds down, we got to be paying attention to everything.
Right. So Ohio State had their game against Michigan State. That was on the road. It was in Michigan State. struggled a little bit. You know, like I said, as we expected, Michigan State was going to play Michigan State football for about three or three and a half quarters. It was going to be a low scoring slugfest. And I expected Dwayne Haskins and the offense to take over in the fourth quarter. And that's exactly what they did, man. He was able to pull away in the fourth quarter, ended up winning that game by, I think it was by 20 points. That was a multi-unit play. We had the multi-unit play on the Texas money line. Shout out to Lil Jordan Humphrey. In my opinion, bad play call, bad pass, unbelievable catch. It was a little bit, you know, reminiscent of the Michael Crabtree catch that he had when he was with Texas Tech against Texas. So it was, you know, same exact end zone. Actually, it was on the same side of the field. So that was another multi-unit hit. Crazy ending to the San Diego State UNLV game.
Oh my gosh!
Which the under ended up holding up. We had the 75 UNLV 2-7 bad football team actually has the lead, gets the interception, and to run out the clock, they run the ball. Got about a 30-yard scamper. Running back kind of does like a stutter step, like he's going to take the knee. Defender stops running. Kid takes off to the end zone. Boom. Over hits. Just kidding. Holding penalty. Ball's coming back. They ended up taking knees to end that. Or they ended up throwing an interception. And then Agnew had a shot. And it was just not a good attempt at winning the game. But all in all, the under ended up hitting on that. We took the over in the WVU game. Slow start, then Will Greer and the offense kicked it in. They ended up hitting that 57 total points. I think it was 47-10 against TCU. We should have been 5-1. We went 4-1-1. Thanks to that little bastard of a troll in Alabama pulling an Andy Reid on us, up 24 points. We took Alabama minus 24, up 24 points, fourth and goal on the 2-yard line. They go for it instead of kicking the field goal, which would have, you know, covered the spread. And then we had the loss. We lost on the Purdue-Minnesota over. Yeah. Minnesota did their part. It snowed. Purdue had no idea what was going on. They looked lost. It was like David Blau saw snow for the first time. He couldn't help but just keep looking around and staring at it. But Minnesota did their part. It's still almost hit. Barely missed it, but like you said, all in all, very good day in college football. Mediocre UFC night, and yesterday on the NFL, Falcons couldn't do anything. Patriots, just pass rush, non-existent. Stephon Gilmore's trash. Titans got up on them early, and they just could never catch up. Thank goodness that the Colts fumbled or that the Jaguars fumbled, because I feel like they would have kicked the field goal there and then they would have had a chance to lose in overtime. So I was cool with a push on that one. So, yeah, our three losses were the Falcons over on the Browns game, the Patriots minus 6.5, and then we did a 6-point tease with the Falcons and Patriots at a pick 'em. Those three losses, we pushed on the Colts. And right now, our final NFL play, we have the Giants plus 3.5 against the 49ers. The Giants are getting ready to kick a field goal to make it 10-10 with a minute 53 left in the first half. So we've still got that going. If this hits, we'll be up 2 units. If it doesn't, we'll be down like 0.2 units. So still have a chance at a productive weekend, you know, after a really bad Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, and anytime you can have the type of Sunday that we had, well, I mean, I think probably a lot of that too is we didn't spread the love around enough. We invested heavily in two teams that we thought were a sure thing, and one, as soon as one, you know, fell apart, the wheels came off the entire vehicle there. So, you know, lessons learned, and you know, it's a process. You know, it keeps sounding like the 76ers week in and week out. It's a process. You know, speaking of processes, I do want to remind you guys this episode, as like all of our episodes now, is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Go to mybookie.ag, put in promo code GiveMeCash, and they'll give you a 50% match on your initial deposit, which is, you know, an awesome deal. Here's the thing, though, is this, you know, this weekend, like we keep saying, it's a process. There is learning to be had. And I will say this, you know, to go back to Saturday, I think the college football playoff's pretty much set, man. I think that, you know, I think the four teams have made themselves abundantly clear. What do you think?
Yes and no. So Tua's banged up. That's a real thing. Like he took a nasty shot on the knee. And this happened last year. Georgia got embarrassed against Auburn. This year they got embarrassed against LSU. Georgia's on a roll. They look tough. They beat up on Auburn pretty good this weekend. If Tua can't get that knee right before he has to come into Atlanta and play Georgia in the SEC championship, I expect Bama to win that game. I do. But if his knee is still bothering him, Georgia's front seven is so tough that I think that they might be able to give Bama fits. And also, all Pitt has to do is – this is insane. I just want – Pitt beats Wake Forest this weekend. Pitt wins the ACC Coastal, and they're playing in the ACC Championship.
I mean –
what?
Yeah. It's 2018, man. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I don't. It's crazy. You know, Pitt looked fantastic on Saturday, man. They really did.
They've looked really good ever since UCF embarrassed them. They really have. They had a little stumble against North Carolina, but their last two games against Virginia and Virginia Tech, the game against Duke, man, Pitt, they're putting up points. Their running game is legit. Quadri Olison's legit. Their backup, I think his name's Ward. That kid's legit. And another surprise team that this weekend won their side of their conference, Northwestern. Northwestern will be playing in the Big Ten championship. Good for them.
I will say this about Pitt, and it's been a complaint. At least you know my generation down through yours and or up to yours and everywhere in between is that there's no reason whatsoever why Pitt should not have fantastic contention level football and basketball teams year in and year out, given where we're located or where where Pitt's located and the amount of talent that comes from that surrounding area, you know, the right program, the right coaches, the right recruitment. There's no reason whatsoever why, you know, Pitt shouldn't be a contender, a two sport contender. I really believe that. And I think that hoops is finally going to get turned back around. And, you know, it looks like football's well on its way, too. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, part of the reason that I'm the Maryland fan that I am is that because growing up, with the exception of like a 2 or 3 year span where Pitt went out every year in the Sweet 16, they weren't even in contention. There was nobody else to cheer for, even remotely close to us. And I'm damn sure not going to cheer for Syracuse. So, you know, it's that was my Maryland fandom was sort of birthed out of the one lack of resources anywhere else and two, a hatred for Duke. And that's when Maryland played Duke, you know, extremely tough. That was back in the Jay Will day. So, yeah, I think there's no reason why Pitt shouldn't be a contender in both sports. And I'm glad to see that they're getting their programs turned around.
Absolutely. It's crazy to me, man. If at the beginning of the season you'd have told me that Syracuse would be a top 15 team, Pitt would win the ACC Coastal, and Northwestern would be in the Big Ten championship, like, yeah. This weekend, college football-wise, not many big games. Syracuse, Notre Dame, Texas, and Iowa State. UCF plays Cincinnati. But outside of that, we don't really have many big games in college football this weekend. Pretty much a down week. But, the season's coming to an end. As far as the four, I wouldn't be surprised if the four teams that are in the top four right now are the college football playoffs. As long as Notre Dame doesn't slip against Syracuse or USC, Southern California. So, but I think Clemson, Bama, and Michigan will all be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. And especially if Bama takes a loss at any point in time, there's going to be, I don't know. I have a feeling somebody's going to be on the outside looking in going, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know. So we'll see how it plays out. But we are going to do something a little bit different this week. We're going to cut the Tuesday touchback short just for the sake of time and the, you know, basically just the way we want to just get geared up for the weekend. We've been doing some research and it appears that, you know, you guys like the Friday shows a lot more than you like the Tuesday shows. Tuesday shows are a little, are still necessary. But the amount of love and play that the Friday shows get far supersedes the Tuesday shows. So there's no point in having you guys sit here for an hour listening to, you know, something that's not consumed on a wide basis. So we're just going to, you know, 20 minutes, easy, digestible chunk, you know, chew your food 20 minutes on each or 20 times on each side. So the Tuesday touchback, 20 minutes. That's all we're doing. You got anything else, Soup?
Stanley passed away today at 95.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
I have a quote of Stanley's that I think is relevant to, you know, our podcast as a whole. Stanley once said, "Luck's a revolving door. You just need to know when it's your time to walk through." Truer words have never been spoken as far as sports betting goes. So, rest in peace, Stanley.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.